We're going to call the Taney County Planning Public Hearing, Monday, May the 11th, 2015, to order. Bob, you want to establish quorum, please?
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Present.
And Rick Caudill called. Steve Adams.
Here.
Brad Lawrence.
Here.
Doug Fabian.
Here.
Randy Fogel.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
And Ronnie Melton called. George Kramer.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
You want to explain the meeting procedures, please?
Okay. I'd like to welcome you to the May 11th, 2015 Taney County Planning Commission public hearing. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 permit application which is filed with the Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file including all pertinent information for each case is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of any site and any questions for staff. If you wish to comment at the public hearing, as the chairman had indicated, a sign-up sheet's been provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of public comment. All of the Division 3 permit applications heard this evening will be voted upon during the meeting this next Monday, May 18th, at the Planning Commission regular meeting. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay, the first one up is Music City Motors. Are there anybody here to represent them?
I don't think so.
Nobody at all, huh? Well, I guess we'll move on to... Since they're not here, they'll have to reschedule.
Normally, that's how we've approached it most of the time.
I mean, we're putting this on.
Yeah.
Okay.
There he is.
Yeah.
Mr. Redford?
Yes.
We're waiting on you here, buddy.
Well, you're right on time.
We're about to move on. Would you like to come up and to the podium there, please?
This is case number 2015-10. The project is Music City Motors, formerly Areawide Motors. The applicant is the Highway 248 Group, LLC, Dan Ruta, and the representative is Steve Redford. The property in question is located at 1818 State Highway 248 Branson, and we'll zoom in on the property here in question. This is located in the Branson Township. It's Section 30, Township 23, Range 21. And we do actually have some new aerial photography. This was just taken in March of this year. And we've got a view from the north, a view from the south, a view from the east, and then a view of the property from the west. The request, the applicant, the Highway 248 Group, is requesting the approval of a Division 3 permit seeking to add a number of specific uses to the permitted pre-owned auto sales facility. This approximately 6.36 acre meets and bounds described tract of land is currently being used as Music City Motors, but is also serving as a sales center for a number of products, including portable buildings, canine pens, poultry containment systems or chicken coops, and carports. For a number of years, the property served as an outdoor sales location for Ben's Decorative Lighting. The background and history on this, on November 16th, 2013, the Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit 2013-16, authorizing the Highway 248 group, represented at that time by Mark Fitzhugh, to develop Area-Wide Motors, a pre-owned auto sales facility. On January of 2015, a mobile construction office, now utilized as the office for Music City Motors, was moved onto the site without first obtaining a Division 2 permit. The representative did immediately contact the Planning Department office via phone, verbally indicating that he would be obtaining a Division 2 permit after the fact. He further indicated at that time that he would be connecting the existing restroom facility within the mobile office to what we refer to as an NS-61 water tank, which was to serve as a holding tank, and also the existing well for water service. Per the provisions of the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services rules and regulations, basically the water tank could not legally serve as a wastewater holding tank. The tank is just approved for water storage. On February 5th of this year, Division 2 Permit 2015-15 was issued to the Highway 248 group, authorizing the placement of the sales office for Music City Motors. During the administrative hearing, Scott Starrett read the Division 2 Permit decision of record. Jarrett and Steve Redford were specifically informed that per the conditions of the Division 3 Permit decision of record and federal, state, and local law, they were not to connect the existing restroom within the mobile office to basically the holding tank or to make connection to water. On March 17th, 2015, a stop work order was issued to the Highway 248 group for all ongoing activities associated with the establishment of the pre-owned auto sales facility and also the portable building sales located at this location. Because the facility was being operated in violation of a number of conditions of the original Division 3 permit, and also in violation of federal, state, and local laws governing the disposal of sewage. Upon inspection of the site, the Planning Department staff discovered that the sewer line from the mobile office had been connected to the tank, which was at that time going to be utilized as the holding tank, essentially. One of the conditions, condition number 4 of the decision of record, essentially stated if an on-site restroom facility is established or a connection is made to water, the property owner shall connect to Branson Municipal Sewer. If Area-Wide Motors was to employ more than 2 persons, an on-site restroom facility was to be established. On April 1st of this year, the stop work order was released upon the disconnection of both the water and the sewer, and also the removal of the water tank that was to be utilized proposed to be utilized as a holding tank. The applicant is now seeking the Planning Commission approval of an additional Division 3 permit to add a number of specific uses to the permitted pre-owned auto sales facility. The current application was approved for concept on April 20th of this year. Music City Motors currently consists of a mobile construction office, which is being utilized as the office for the sales facility, and a gravel parking area being utilized for the display of pre-owned automobiles, portable buildings, canine pens, chicken coops, and carports on approximately 6.36 acre, described in a meets and bounds description. Again, the applicant is seeking specific sales uses, which would include the sales of portable buildings, boats, motors, and trailers, ATVs, personal watercraft, utility tractors slash trailers, poultry containment systems or chicken coops, canine pens, and carports. The applicant is now seeking the Planning Commission approval, again, of an additional Division 3 permit in order to place these specific sales uses or add these specific sales uses to the original permit. This is due in large part to condition number 9 of that original decision of record, which stated that no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials shall exist other than automobiles. So the original permit was really limited to just those automobiles. There is an existing Branson Municipal Sewer Main that traverses the property in question. This is a map provided by the city. And essentially, the existing water mains located here, the office, of course, is located somewhere about this proximity. During the original public hearing process, the representative indicated that Area-Wide Motors would not be served by either water or a restroom facility. During that initial public hearing process, the City of Branson requested in writing that the applicant connect to municipal sewer, thereby requiring annexation into the municipal limits of the City of Branson. The planning director with the City of Branson has now requested in writing that because this property is contiguous to the city, the next and only action should be for the applicant to request annexation from the city prior to being allowed to proceed any further with the request. Division 3 permit 2013-16 was issued with a condition allowing for the property in question to be served by a Port-a-John facility. Condition number 4 of the decision of record states that if an on-site restroom facility is established or a connection is made to water, the property owner shall connect to Branson Municipal Sewer. It further states if Area-Wide Motors should employ more than 2 persons, an on-site restroom shall be provided. The mobile construction office, which is currently serving as the office for Music City Motor for the Music City Motors business, contains an existing restroom facility. The staff strongly recommends that a condition be placed on the decision of record requiring that this restroom be connected to water and sewer service in order to provide a restroom for employees. The staff further recommends that a condition be placed on the current application requiring the applicant to connect to the existing Branson Municipal Sewer Main located upon the property in question. The property in question is also traversed along the southern portion of the property somewhere in this area by the Taney County Public Water Supply District 3 water main. However, the representative indicated during the previous public hearing process that Area-Wide Motors would be supplied with water via bottled water. The current representative has basically made connection to the existing well located approximately here. During the concept hearing for the original Division 3 permit, the representative indicated that there would be no more than 30 cars on site at a time. At that time, the representative further indicated that there would be no cars serviced on site. All of the cars were to either be kept clean on site via mobile washing service or were to be taken off site for cleaning. The representative further indicated that the pre-owned auto sales facility would not be served by either a restroom or water. The current representative now has made connection to the existing well, and is utilizing the well for washing automobiles on site. During the first public hearing, the representative stated that the applicant does not wish for the pre-owned auto sales facility to grow beyond one or two employees. Per the provisions of Appendix J, basically the parking requirements of the code, one parking space is required for over 300 square feet. In this instance, the staff recommends that the standard be applied to the square footage of the office. And so, essentially, the parking would be more than adequate that's there. The representative is utilizing the two existing accesses off of 248 as the primary accesses to the property. The adjoining property immediately to the north is predominantly single-family residential. The adjoining property immediately to the south is Highway 248, vacant property, and then some commercial. The adjoining property immediately both to the east and to the west is commercial. Excuse me. And essentially the city boundary now is right here, so everything on this side is within the city limits, and this property has been annexed into the city limits as well. The project received a score of negative 16 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 33. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of sewage disposal, emergency water supply, and use compatibility. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, the Western Taney County Fire Protection District shall submit a compliance letter to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. Three, a current copy of the Missouri State Dealership License shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Fourth, an on-site restroom facility shall be established for employees. Five, the applicant shall make connection to the existing Branson Municipal Sewer Main located upon the property in question. Six, a 25-foot wide vegetative buffer shall be maintained between the area-wide Motors business, and that should say Music City Motors business, and the adjoining residences to the north. Seven, parking shall be provided in compliance with the provisions of the Development Guidance Code. Eight, normal business hours of operation shall be Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Nine, this decision is subject to all existing easements. And 10, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. And we've got just a brief video of the site. And we've done a quick 360 here. And just tried to show a few things along the frontage here of the property. And these are some of the current items that are for sale. And this is the existing well. A connection had initially been made to the office, and it's my understanding that connection has been disconnected. The existing sewer main runs somewhere about the bottom of this hill, and so it runs right through here. And like I said, it's an existing city sewer main. And there's the porta potty and the back side of the building here. And the tank had been right back here, but it's been removed.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Does anybody got any questions for Mr. Redford?
Where was your 25-foot buffer you recommended in your staff report?
Really just on the back side, and it was just to really keep the existing vegetation. So there's quite a bit of property on this back side.
Okay. Other than that wouldn't apply.
I thought you put it on the north end. Well, I'd be on the north end.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the only place where there's residential. And it's quite a distance. It's up in further than I can point. It's up in here.
Yeah.
And I really don't think he has any intentions of developing that northern area anyway.
Take a lot to fill that holler. Anybody else got any questions? Steve, you want to tell us anything?
I'm surprised you don't have any questions.
On the staff recommendations, number four, an on-site restroom facility shall be established. Is that within the trailer itself?
That there is.
Yeah, but we won't agree to do that.
I'm sorry.
We won't agree to do that because that requires to hook up city sewer. And to do that, we got to annex the property, and the current owner won't annex the property. So we won't agree to do that. So, and...
which ties into number five.
Which, yeah, right. Of course, when we put the holding tank there, if anybody can explain to me the difference between a holding tank and a porta potty, it said holding tank, parentheses, porta potty. That's what the decision of record said. And you can ask Bob to get a copy of it and show it to you. That's what it said. Okay? The well was existing. It was an existing well. So we didn't drill a well. It was an existing well. I mean, my argument is that it's more sanitary to have a holding tank than it is a porta potty. But we have a guy that's pumping it out, and we unhooked it, and we unhooked the water into the.
Here's the original decision of record. I didn't make.
Well, a porta potty you can dump weekly. That the tank.
It's. Number five there.
When it gets full, you're going to empty it. Are you going to dump it weekly, the big tank?
Well, we've already taken it out, so it don't matter now.
Yeah, but I'm saying if it was still there.
No, it wasn't the type of the tank with the problem. It was the tank was a problem. But the holding tank was in a problem. Okay, so we took the tank out, and so, you know, this... You know, I don't know where, is everybody here on the commission?
Yes.
So you have all, you have seven members?
There's two that's not here.
Two that's not here? Okay. Well, I mean, I've got a lot of issues with the way you're interpreting the code, but I don't know if it's appropriate to talk about that now, but it's going to be talked about. So... I mean, we can talk about it now or talk about it later. I mean, the staff here not only has not recommended, they strongly recommended these conditions. Where was your verbiage about that, Bob? Where you strongly was recommending?
bottom.
Yeah. So obviously, based on what your staff is recommending, this property has to be annexed basically to comply. And all you guys sitting here know that the city, you know what it's like dealing with the city. You know, we're only asking to sell the same stuff that Home Depot sells daily, a lot of stuff, Lowe's. We're selling stuff that you can drive up about any commercial highway in this whole county and see stuff being sold, lumber yards and et cetera. So we're not asking for anything out of the ordinary. So and I don't know where hours of operation comes up in the code.
And really, the hours of operation were the same hours that were agreed to in the first,
okay,
first Division 3 permit.
So,
on our first deal, did we refresh my memory, Bob? Did we agree to for the office trailer?
At that time, there was really an example of a possible office that was shown, but I don't think it was ever that specific.
It was a mobile office, original application. As I understand it, I didn't make the original application, as you guys know.
I don't know if I got...
Well, it doesn't appear that you're going to build anything real permanent anyway, are you? Other than maybe the sales office?
Yeah, this...
This, moved out any time,
this so was the... That was the original.
I think it's safe to say we're not going to build a permanent office to see until we see if it works or not.
Any of them cars that you work on, do you work on them there or send them somewhere?
The only thing that we have a guy comes in and details cars from Springfield. He's fully insured. He may be from Ozark, in fact. He does it for a lot of dealers. He comes in, details the cars and wax them, cleans them out on the inside and stuff. And now, I'm not going to say that there hadn't been a battery changed. Something like that, you know. But as far as...
Go back to that last picture you had, Bob, on your video, if you can.
Oh, to the video? Or the...
I don't think you got any pictures of it. I think it's on the video. The reason I'm asking them for that, Mr. Rafferty, they're... Right now, according to the video, I don't know if it's that way right now, but there's quite a bit of stuff piled behind your building there.
Oh.
Well, there was...
Looked like a bunch of tires, plywood,
pipe. Yeah, there was a load of cars that we hauled, that we shipped up from Florida, and one of them had an extra set of, I think, one of them, an SUV, had an extra set of tires in the back of it.
Are you planning on having that on site, extra tires and wheels and stuff like that, you think?
I don't think that it's something that we'd have there to sell or anything.
So how long have you been selling cars on this property? Since September of 2013?
No. We didn't. The dealer's license has just been two or three weeks. We've had cars there. We just haven't. We've been setting it up. I'm going to say maybe
we started setting this up the first time in February, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it takes a couple of months or more to get a dealer's license.
Did you get that picture?
Oh yeah. Or I showed that video just real briefly.
Well, I think if you're going to have anything like that, on site yard have a small little building for all that right there. I know it's around behind, but there's quite a bit of stuff right there. Weed eater, tars, looks like a bunch of plastic pipe, rolls of wire.
How long do you anticipate giving it before you decide if it's going to work or not?
Do what?
How long do you anticipate giving it? You said you're going to see how long it, you know, whether or not it works.
A year or so. Oh, it's going to, it'll work. It's going to work.
You think it's permanent then? It's going to be a permanent business?
Yeah.
Don't think you need a permanent bathroom?
Well, have you been dealing with the city lately?
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
George Kramer.
George? No. Not the kind of traffic we're getting. I think we can get by the porta potty.
Six months from now, how many people do you think you'll come through there in a day?
In a day? Probably five or six.
Five or six buyers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't think so?
I'd want more than that if it was me. If you got some good cars, and I've been by there, it looks like you got some pretty good rigs sitting out there. You, on an average day, you should have more people than that just looking at your rigs, much less the buildings and stuff you got out there, I think. So I think you're shooting that quite low as far as your activity.
Well, I hope you're right.
I hope I am too.
If you want to increase, you want to put more things in there, isn't that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
From what I see here, you want to put ATVs, personal watercrafts, boat motors and trailers. That's on top of what you got now. Tractors, utility tractors and trailers. That's kind of like the boys over at Cameron City that's got them tractors and trailers.
I don't know.
Is that carved up, I'd say?
I don't know any of them over there.
That's quite a few things for the parking lot you got.
Well, I think that's one of the points of contention was because it was approved for cars only before. And when it came through, it was discussed for a good long length of time. And this Mark Fitzhugh, whoever it was, agreed in order to increase his chances of getting a permit on the thing, to keep it down to a very low impact thing and just a few cars on it, and they were going to try and see if it works, the best I remember. And I think the point of contention on this now is whether all this other stuff, well, a lot of the other stuff has been added, which brings them out of compliance on the thing, and I think that's one of the things that's kind of a sticking point on this whole thing, because if you have a permit for all these things, then that's going to, which, from a business standpoint, that's good. I mean, you try to get more people through the property. But I think this is one of the things that's really a point of contention, is it's been increased, and it's out of compliance now.
Well, with all these, the point I was trying to make, with all these things that we're adding, and Mr. Redford thinks we're just going to be five people through there, I think that's a low number. Because you're going to have a lot of things there for people to look at, the ATVs, the boats. That's going to.
You know, I guess I'm kind of curious why that is a concern of the commission of what we sell there. I'd like to determine why is that any issue with no? Let's back off of the porta potty. What's the issue with selling more items there? According to the code. Since you don't have a zoning map, and since you don't have specific uses, And since you continually do spot zoning, I mean, tell me why that's an issue with the commission. I'd like to know.
I would like to clarify for the record that we do have a zoning map for Taney County. It looks upon two districts, Western Taney County and Eastern Taney County, as the two zoning districts.
Where? Okay. But, I mean, here again, you've got multiple uses of commercial property all over the county. I mean, you can go east, west, north, south, doesn't matter. And there's from flea markets to junk cars to used stuff everywhere, correct? Would you agree to that?
This is true, and most of them are served by sewer and water. I said most of them.
Most. You mean a plurality or a majority?
A plurality.
Okay. So, I think that's the issue. And if we have to have the porta potty pumped out once a day, I guess we'll just have it pumped out once a day. We have a contract to pump it. The guy that pumps it is in the Branson area every day, although he's from Branson West. He's from Branson West. He has a route that he runs. So them porta potties, as you guys know, are, what are they, 100 gallons capacity or something? They put disinfectant and stuff in them, of course, when they pump them out and recharge them. And they're vented. And people are not, they're not coming there, staying a long time. They're not eating there. They're not drinking there. A lot of these people, it's been my experience. Of course, I don't operate this. That a lot of the people that come there are not there over 15 or 20 minutes. They're gone. They come, gone, leave. And so,
well, when you come in front of us back in February, or who that, it wasn't you, you know, this was originally made for a car lot, and now we've got buildings, coops, you're wanting to do all these other things, and that's the reason you're back here, for all these other things. So we're going to have to sort this out. Has anybody else got any questions for Mr. Redford on anything?
You're just going to have one person on site as far as an employee or whoever to run the thing?
Got one guy right now and got another guy there part-time. Yeah, it's being used to wash cars.
Bob, on the original record, September 24th of 13, number 4, it says, if an on-site rescue facility is established or a connection is made to water, the property owner shall connect to the Branson Municipal Sewer.
We didn't actually connect to water. We flipped a switch on an existing well. We didn't connect to water.
Okay. I was going to ask him for clarification of what that meant.
All right.
So is it water in general?
The way that the staff had understood it was whenever a connection was made, and here's kind of the existing well, that when a connection, there was a line that was run underground, and then it was connected, and then the restroom facility was also connected to this water tank that was being utilized as a wastewater tank. We looked upon that as establishing a restroom and making a connection to water. Since that time, the connection to the water. The water's been disconnected from the office, basically. The tank's been removed, and the sewer line's been disconnected from it. I did want to clarify one thing, too. It is my understanding, I'm not our on-site wastewater permitting person had essentially indicated that this tank was not a tank that could legally be utilized for wastewater. It's a tank that's approved specifically for holding water for potable water, not for sewage.
If they desire to put the proper tank in there for wastewater, would that be considered other than a port potty?
I don't believe, and this is more of a Scott Sterrett question, but it's my understanding from speaking with Mr. Sterrett that the health department would likely not allow him to connect to a holding tank with a sewer main being located on the property. That normally they only allow holding tanks in situations where sewer's not yet available, but will be available in the near future. But in this circumstance, the sewer main's actually located upon the property in question. And so that's why this scenario is a little bit different.
Have you checked into what it would cost to hook to the sewer?
If he does that, he's going to annex.
The city's going to annex.
No, I mean.
Said that was out.
Current owner of the property won't annex because
he doesn't pay that park lawn.
Well,
I'm not sure what'd have to be done.
He'd have to pave it and curb it and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Have to pay city's sales tax. He's got two monopole signs there that he rents, and if he goes into the city, and I think if they're ever destroyed, he can't put them back since they'd be non-complying signs, but now I may be wrong about that. I don't know. So.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions?
That's the place where Ben Delgado had all those.
Yes.
Yeah.
Years,
yeah. Yeah, he sold everything. He sold them lights with them gargoyles on them or whatever they were.
Yeah.
The property was bought for Bed Delgado. Oh.
Yeah, he had it for 15 years probably. 15 or 20, he had it for a long time. Anybody?
Well, the fact remains that if you remove the buildings now, your office and your cars and the rest of it are in compliance.
Yes.
But the buildings on there and the chicken coops or whatever the other buildings are, they were not. Because I remember when we talked about it before, and it was strictly for cars. And it was limited in number. And so to bring it back into compliance, then you would need to remove the building, and then the permit would still be effective that we voted on last September or whenever.
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
If it goes back the way it was, then it's as long as it's cool. That's the way it is.
They have a permit to put the cars on there and the portable office and the porta potty.
The office and the porta potty.
Yes, sir.
And the cars. How many cars was it?
30.
30. Okay. Anybody else got any questions? Steve, you got any questions?
No. When's the... I noticed nobody else is here to comment on this. Public hearing? Okay. When do you take this up the next time?
Be next Monday.
Next Monday. Okay.
6 o'clock. What's that date, Bob? Is
18th,
6 o'clock.
All right, thank you.
Okay, the next one up is, find my sheet. Shepherd Nightly Rentals. Are there somebody here for that?
And this is case number 2015-11. The project is Shepherd Nightly Rental. The applicant is Profund Capital, LLC, Steve Shepherd. The property in question is located at 290 Lone Pine Road, Branson, Missouri. And we'll go ahead and zoom in on this. It's located in the Branson Township, Section 10, Township 22, Range 22. And we've got a view of this from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. The applicant, Steve Shepherd, is requesting approval of a Division 3 special use permit in order to utilize an existing four-bedroom single-family residence for nightly rental. On April 22, 1999, Division 1 permit 1999-180 was issued for the construction of a 2,500-square-foot single-family residence. The single-family residence is currently listed per the assessor's information via Beacon as being approximately 7,742 square feet in size. The home is currently listed on the multiple listing service as being a four-bedroom, three-and-a-half-bath home. On April 22nd of 99 as well, septic permit 99-158 was issued for the property in question for a septic system sized to accommodate a three-bedroom residence. On December 16, 2013, the Taney County Planning Commission denied a special use permit request by Steve Shepherd, seeking to utilize the existing three-bedroom single-family residence for nightly rental. At that time, the applicant also sought to convert the existing indoor racquetball/basketball court into two additional bedrooms that would also be available for nightly rental. The Planning Commission voted to deny this request by a vote of 5-1. The majority of the Planning Commission based its decision upon the belief that the proposed nightly rental of the single-family residence would not be compatible with the surrounding single-family residential area. And also the Planning Commission further expressed reservations about the capacity of the existing on-site wastewater treatment system in ensuring adequate provision of sewer service for the proposed nightly rental with the addition of the bedrooms. And so at that time, he was seeking basically to convert this basketball/racquetball court area into additional bedrooms as well. On March 25th of this year, upon the receipt of a complaint and the completion of an investigation, a stop work order was posted on site and also sent via certified mail to Steve Shepherd regarding the nightly rental of the single family residence without a Division 3 special use permit. Upon receipt of the stop work order, Mr. Shepherd immediately contacted the Planning Department office, indicating that he would amend his advertisement on the Vacation Rental by Owner website to reflect that at this time the minimum stay will be 30 nights until such time that he has issued a Division 3 special use permit for nightly rental. Mr. Shepherd further agreed that he would apply for a new Division 3 special use permit. On April 1st of this year, the Planning Department staff confirmed that Mr. Shepherd had amended his advertisement on the VRBO website, indicating that the minimum stay is currently 30 nights. On April 1st, the Planning Department office received the current application for a Division 3 special use permit for nightly rental, and also at that time, like I said, the staff was able to confirm that he had amended his advertisement. And so at that time, the stop work order was released. The current application was approved for concept on April 20th of this year. The subject property, which is approximately 12,500 square foot, contains a 7,742 square foot four-bedroom single-family residence located at 290 Lone Pine Road, known as Lot 16, Block 1 of the Skyline Subdivision. The Taney County Development Guidance Code defines nightly rental as a residential building, structure, or part thereof that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 calendar days, counting portions of days as full days. Therefore, the applicant would have the ability to rent the residence for a period of 30 days or greater. However, at this time, the applicant currently has the property listed on the VRB website as being available for a 30-day period of time. The exterior appearance of the single-family home will remain the same. Per the nightly rental provisions of the Development Guidance Code, the maximum occupancy for a nightly rental shall be two persons per dwelling unit plus two persons per bedroom. Therefore, in this case, the four-bedroom home would have a maximum occupancy of 10 people. The applicant has indicated that an office in the home was converted into an additional bedroom. The applicant has further indicated that a couple of bunk beds are located within the game room, but this room is not being claimed as an official bedroom because, from my understanding, it doesn't have a window or any type of exterior exit. The property is currently served by public water via the Missouri American Water Company and an individual on-site septic system. Septic permit 99-152 was issued for this residence, and it basically permitted a three-bedroom house with 300 linear feet of lateral line and a 1,000-gallon tank. The residence was previously a three-bedroom residence, but as I indicated, the applicant has indicated that an office has been converted into a fourth bedroom. The staff recommends that if the application is approved, that a condition be placed on the permit requiring the applicant to upgrade the on-site wastewater treatment system, ensuring that the system will adequately address the needs of up to 10 people. The property is currently served by an existing drive off of Lone Pine Road. Per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, one off-street parking space is to be provided for each two persons of nightly rental occupancy, and the applicant does have a three-car garage plus a number of parking spaces in front of the three-car garage, and he's also created a small parking area here as well that could potentially serve either two or three cars depending on how tightly they're parked in this area. The adjoining property immediately to the north is vacant, with a single-family residence being located further to the north. The adjoining property to the south and to the east is single-family residential, and the adjoining property to the west is single-family residential with a duplex further to the west. The project received a total score of negative 23 on the policy checklist out of a maximum score of 29. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of sewage disposal, off-site nuisances, right-of-way on existing roads, emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, and use compatibility. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the Missouri Department of Revenue, and the Environmental Division of the Planning Department, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, excuse me, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. third, a valid Missouri Department of Revenue sales tax license shall be provided to the Planning Department office prior to the issuance of the Certificate of Compliance. Fourth, this residence shall accommodate no more than 10 persons per night. The total occupancy may be further limited based upon the provisions of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District requirements and regulations. Five, the on-site wastewater treatment system shall be upgraded, ensuring capacity for the 10 persons that will be accommodated via nightly rental. The upgraded on-site wastewater treatment system shall be permitted via the Taney County Planning Department in conjunction with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. Six, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Seven, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Eight, a privacy fence shall be established between the nightly rental structure and the adjoining existing single-family residence immediately to the south. Nine, the Shepherd nightly rental has been approved as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. The special use permit shall not be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land use change applications. And 10, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. And we've got a brief video here. And just did a quick 360 in the front here. Excuse me. And like I said, he's got a total of a three-car garage, and then the parking area in front of the garage.
And that one off to the right, a parked car?
Oh, it will. You talking about the third-car garage?
I'm talking about the little door on the right.
Yeah, that's a third-car garage.
And we also shot just a little bit of footage in the back as well, just to sorry, wrong one.
Yeah, sounds like another put a swimming pool in the back of that. Well, there a house close to this? They just put a swimming pool in the back of it?
Well, there's a swimming pool in the bottom of the third level down.
This one?
Uh-huh.
And then they built on top of it?
Yeah.
That happened last year?
No, that was originally when they first built the house.
Okay, there's one close to that one somewhere that they just done a pool last year.
Yeah, on the third floor down, it's got a swimming pool and it's got a racquetball court inside it.
That's right.
And then above that is really where the living quarters are, and that's about 4,800 square feet. The size of it, really, when you add the square footage of the pool and the racquetball court, that adds a lot of square footage. But
well, anything on there about the description, Bob? I was trying to look at the house about boats up front there.
I don't have anything in there right now.
Well, the solution for boats is that anybody who's going to rent this house, even if I brought my boat over, there are Jerry's boat storage you can rent down there for $35 a month for the whole month. And that's really what they would do is go put their boat in and then take the trailer over and put it at Jerry's boat rental.
I think that ought to be in your description, though.
Okay.
In Scott's.
And your nightly rentals won't have no reason to.
In Scott's.
Yeah, they wouldn't have any reason to have a boat there.
On the wastewater unless I'm wrong, that would mean going to a 1250 tank or a 1500 and another 100 or plus feet of lateral line.
That's my understanding,
and
too.
In his thing, did he think there was enough room for that to be done?
Bob, can I answer that?
Okay.
Yeah, I just want an answer.
When we were looking at this originally, by the way, the plans that I came before you guys before were much more aggressive than what the neighborhood would be conducive for sure. And if I was sitting on your side of the table, I'd have probably rejected it as well. So, but we did talk to the sewer department, and they looked at it and said, because if you remember, we also had a conversation about, well, what if I didn't do all that work? And they said, well, if you don't do all that work and add those other bedrooms and add on the number of people, then the current sewer would be fine. And we've got that written by the people from the sewer department. But, again, we would go get that updated and validated to be sure that that's the case. If we need to upgrade it according to their guidelines, we would certainly do that. Biggest issue for us is going to be if we go ahead and do this, we'd have to have a sprinkler system in this house. And that's expensive. And we're willing to do it. And we'd be the only house in the whole neighborhood that had a fire suppressant system in it. But frankly, I think that would be a nice thing to have, even though it's going to cost a lot of money, you know, to do it. Like for, you know, the other houses in the addition to have them as well. But as you know, there's other houses in the addition that are operating as vacation rentals. We've talked about that before, just without approvals. And therefore, they don't have sprinkler systems, you know, in theirs. What we're asking for, really, is that, I mean, the current code allows us to rent for 30 days or longer. And I can do that. And that's fine. If you guys decide to not approve that, that's what we'll do. And there's a market for that, and we'll abide by that code. My family and friends are all coming over here occupying this thing about as much as I can stand. And the nightly rental, what it does for us is that it would keep us from having to rent it. If we're going to rent it for revenue, it would keep us from having to rent it for 30 days or longer, which means then my family and friends and I can come over and use it. If we rented it for 30 days in June or July or August, you know, it's gone. We can't use it. So really one of our primary goals in doing this is just so we can have it rented for a couple weeks during the month and then come over with our family and friends and use the property.
Okay. Bob, did you change that on the boat deal?
I haven't, but I can.
Can't change it on there?
Yeah. I didn't know. Do you want me to go ahead and change it today or just have it changed for next week for the vote? I can do it either way.
Change it for next week as long as he's aware of it and knows that's what's going to be on there.
Yeah, that would be fine. But, you know, we're not asking you to approve a hotel. We're not, you know, the term nightly rental, it is a misnomer. It's a bad term because it gives the impression that what we're trying to get is a business that's a bed and breakfast. And that's not what we're doing. We're just looking for the ability to rent it for a couple weeks during the month to fill in the times when we're not going to be over here. And
Okay, anybody got any questions for Steve?
I've got one. I noticed on one of these referrals you had that people had 14 people in there. And the house will serve 14 people now.
It will.
Okay, and the septic system was a three-bedroom, and that's, 1,000 gallon and 250 or 300 of lateral?
Yeah.
And that's not 14.
Well, I think what it is, I think correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, that they don't count kids like under four as people in the code.
I'm just thinking but in terms of bedroom. I'm sorry. I didn't
yeah, but that. But when we talk about 14, it's generally 8 or 10 adults, and then some little ones.
Right. My question was, I mean, Scott told you this sewer system will work for what you're doing.
That's what he said. Okay. Now that was a year ago, and we'd have to go back and get confirmation that that's still correct.
Because if you got, I was just looking at the number of bedrooms and stuff, and that's not a 1,000-gallon tank and 300-foot lateral. I mean, you think about deleting some bedrooms, or
no? We just have to comply. If he says we can't do it, we can't do it.
Oh, there's.
I mean,
you can add lateral or a tank or something. I mean, I'm sure it can be done.
Yeah. They said it could be done.
Yeah. Well, the old adage is no problem that cannot be solved with the proper application of $100 bills.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he said it could be done, and so whatever the requirement is,
okay,
you know, we'll certainly comply with that.
Thank you.
That's with Scott, Buck.
Yes.
The house for sale?
The house is for sale. And the reason is I got a couple partners out of Florida that would like to sell it, but my wife wants to keep it.
We're back to that old adage.
And we're going to go back to that old adage that she really loves this place. And
you know who's going to win then, don't you?
I do know who's going to win. If we get approval, then that's going to allow me the ability to take my partners out, and they'll be made whole. But I can't do that unless I know that I can have some revenue coming in, you know, to offset that cost.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions for Steve? If we don't, we'll let him sit down for a minute. I think we got a couple people here for or against. I don't know yet.
Well, these are all the neighbors. I'm sure they're going to be for me and support
me. Are they, can't read this first name, but I hope it's a Mr. Harris.
Yes.
Huh? What is your first name, sir?
Bernard.
What?
Bernard.
Oh, okay. I just didn't see it wrote that way. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Apologize.
Well, gentlemen, I don't have the means of making a video, but I do have copies here of an aerial view of the properties close by that I'd like to distribute.
Okay.
Yeah, go
Not
ahead.
A problem. Thank you, sir.
You get back up there, Bernard. Pull that mic closer to you so we can understand you, please.
Thank you, sir.
The only thing I've done on there is I have added in the white boundary line between the two houses, otherwise it's untouched. My house is the house on the right, which is slightly canted, not at right angles to the road. Last time we were here, in the last 2 years ago, last November, my property was referred to as a vacant lot. Well, as you can see, there's trees there. That's me.
That's you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've left the trees up on that lot there. We've thinned out the saplings, but a vacant lot it isn't. Last time we were here, Mr. Shepherd did refer to a new gentleman. They referred to the fact that 14 people could be in there. And a new septic tank would have to put in for 14 people. That's come up right now, too. If you will notice where the white line is, which is my property line, I don't know how he's going to get a new septic tank in because I can't allow him to come onto my property. I've just put new grass seed down and put a few hundred grass plugs in too. I can't have a heavy vehicle coming across to dig a hole back in his property. As you notice, the road itself is a very narrow road. It has no center line. No sidelines. On my property there, you will see under my driveway, there's a small white car. It's a subcompact. Two of those can pass on the road, but two normal cars can't. Quite often, when two cars are approaching, one car will come onto the side of my lot, let the other car pass. Well, I don't mind that too much, because that car will only be a few seconds before it takes off again. Now, as to parking, Mr. Shepherd has got that revetment on the side of his of the house, which will generously take at the most 3 cars. If there's more than 3 cars, he proposes to put them on his driveway. But that view and none of the views that Mr. Shepherd has put up have shown how steep his driveway is. Now, I've taken the opportunity with a level and a spotting scope to determine the actual angle of his driveway, which happens to be 23.5 degrees. Well, it's hard to visualize 23.5 degrees. I've got a drafting square here. The road's up here. This is the driveway, and his house is here. This happens to be 30 degrees.
You're touching that mic, sir.
Oh, sorry. This happens to be 30 degrees. His driveway is 23.5 degrees, which would be slightly left. Now, if somebody coming along with a car, if his little revetment is full, then they don't want to park on that slope of 23.5 degrees. They want to park on the side of mine there. And I have another photograph here, and unfortunately I only have one photograph. It shows that mine is considerably flatter.
I only have one photograph.
I fully expect that cars, especially...
Which way are we headed here?
You're looking down the road towards his house. The foreground is from my house.
And here's his house.
I fully expect that once 2 or 3 cars are in his little revetment, if there are any more cars, rather than any guest wanted to park on that steep slope, they will park on my land. And if anybody is towing a boat, now he says the boat will be towed off into storage. Yes, I'm sure it will be. I'm sure that they'll come along and they'll park that boat on my property, my back line there too.
Sir, in fact, the street has a certain amount of footage on right-of-way.
Yes.
So they can park on the right-of-way.
I agree.
Of the road.
I agree that part of that green sward is the right-of-way. I maintain that. I mow it, I seed it, and I weed it. Cars parking on it, especially a car just come with a hot engine, hot gearbox, higher catalytic converter. You know what that does to grass.
Hang on a minute. Randy, is that a county?
That's a county-maintained roadway. It is a narrow roadway.
It is county-maintained, yes.
But it is county-maintained, yes.
How much footage is off of the asphalt on both sides? Have any idea, roughly, or...
That I couldn't tell you without measuring it, but the road is probably 14, 15 foot wide at best.
Well, how much we got on each side? It's frontage, road frontage.
We can bring it up on aerial, but I'm going to assume that's probably a 40 foot easement on that.
40 foot right away.
40 foot right away. So
you got 26 foot. You got 13 foot on each side.
Yeah, but that car's parked there will also deny me access to my own property. Especially if there's a trailer, a boat trailer there, too.
If they park right here,
yeah.
That's going to deny you access to your property?
I'm saying so, yes.
How is that going to deny you access?
How can I get in to put a mower down there?
Well, without going out there, which that may be something I have to do to get Randy to go out there, but if you got 10 foot on each side, it's county.
Oh, I agree.
Property.
I agree. It's county property.
County's
job
to mow it and maintain it. Not that this has got anything to do with the house, or
yeah.
I'm just telling you that. You may go ahead. I'll interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No, okay. That's my main concern about the parking alongside there. The other thing is, when my wife and I bought the property, we were told by the developers that it was, as it pointed out, single residence, single family owner occupied. Well, we do have a few rentals there right now. But in the main, and most of my neighbors over here are owners, single family, occupied there. We are a cohesive community. When we go away on vacation, we let each other know. We look to the safety of each other's house. We'll mow each other's lawns if necessary. During the winter, we'll also mow, sweep the snow away. Anybody wants to run errands for somebody, we'll do it. We've even taken people on doctor's appointments and even to Skaggs Hospital. We even had a member there, a neighbor here, who used to delight in going to visit people at Skaggs Hospital. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. What I'm saying here, we have a cohesive, well-run little neighborhood. I think the addition of a nightly rental, which you're still calling nightly rental, will tend to destroy this cohesiveness. I think that even with these 30-day rentals and Mr. Shepard and his family coming there and for vacations, they have no real interest in the neighborhood itself or the well-being of the neighborhood. So we are very concerned about that, of course. We feel that should this be approved, it would detract from the whole area.
Anybody got any questions?
I have one further.
Okay. I want to tell you before we go any further, I was trying to explain this right away to you for the county. I'm not disagreeing with you as far as what you're trying to say. I'm just telling you that's county right away.
Oh, yes. I've been aware of that.
But if you've got 10 foot on each side of the road and people park there, if it's rainy or wet, they're going to mess it up. I understand.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's my concern is messing up. We do our best, all of us, to keep our lots, part that is county.
I wanted you to know I wasn't disagreeing with you. Yeah. I was just trying to point that out. Go ahead.
I have another document here, which is the restrictive covenants and conditions applying to Skyline Safe Subdivision. This was dated, and it's on file here in the courthouse. It's dated 5th of September 1974, which is a long time ago now, but it's still in existence. And the first paragraph says, all lots shall be used for residential purposes only. Now, at the time that this was put together, 40-odd years ago, nobody could possibly envisage that one of the residences would be converted to a nightly rental. And we'd like you gentlemen to consider this covenant in your considerations. That's all I really have to say, gentlemen.
Okay. Have we got a copy of that? The covenant?
I don't believe so.
You might have this copy.
Okay.
We can read it. That's.
Thank you.
I have one question.
Go ahead, Dave.
The way this is marked here, and you've got this marked over here.
Yeah.
You have two lots, or that's all
I have two lots, yes.
You have two lots, okay. And then the one line that is left out there.
I left that lot out because the line we are talking about, the common line between the two houses, is actually closer into what is
But then your line comes, your two lots come, and it comes straight through, like behind the other house there then.
Yes.
And there's another area in behind, probably a platted lot also. But
yes.
Okay, thank you.
We're on the aerial map, and on this map, you look like we're off. This is a lot closer than what that is.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I have the... of this lot in question, the second lot, if you want to call it, record book 250, page 1025.
Which lot are we talking about?
The vacant one between them.
The one that has no building.
Plain called the vacant lot.
Yeah, okay.
I have on the corners of the lot line there is a brass surveyor's plaque in the ground, small plaque, with the actual latitude and longitude or whatever it is stamped onto it. It is there. It is where I'm showing that white line.
Then it's on the corner over here next to the home in question.
Except you're showing a lot more there than there is at somewhere.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
That is my presentation, gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody got any questions for him before he leaves? Thank you. Well, see, I lost my paperwork. I hope that the Roberts, I think she left. I think that was her signed up last, wasn't it? Lonita? Yeah. I don't know where she's been gone quite a while. So, Steve, you want to step back up?
I'd like to just address.
You want to try to help us out on addressing some of his issues?
You bet. First of all, with the number of people that are going to be there, there's not going to be more than four cars. Let's just say there were six. There's not going to be, but let's just say there was. You can park three cars in the garage, and you can park three cars up the top. They don't have to park on the slant going down there. I wouldn't park there. I'd pull in the garage. And there's just not going to be, we've never had any cars over there that were, you know, more than maybe four cars. So I don't think that's something to be too worried about. Secondly, we talked about the boat issue. I'd be glad to put into our covenants whenever we rent that there are not going to be any boats parked up there, you know, on the property. And the reason I built that pad that's there, he's right, we can put three cars on there, but the reason I did it is because that road is so narrow. And it would have been just stupid, really, not to provide for additional parking that was there. So we take care of that boat parking. Let me tell you, it's single-family homes. I'm a realtor. I understand single-family homes. But by law, if I wanted to rent this for a year, it's a single-family home. By law, by code, if I want to rent it for 30 days or longer, it's a single-family home. Just because we get... The problem is just the term, nightly rental. It just sounds horrible. Because it makes you think we're talking about a motel. And we're just not. We're talking about... I'll tell you what it's about. It's about a family that came in on Thanksgiving, and they rented it for a week for Thanksgiving. I ended up renting it to them for a month. Why? Because I had to, right? But they stayed there 1 week. They enjoyed Thanksgiving with their family, and it was a local family in Branson that didn't have enough room in their own home. So they brought everybody over to our house where they could enjoy that together. Same thing happened on Christmas. Same thing will happen this Christmas. I'll rent it to them for 30 days if I have to. They'll be there for a week. During Christmas, we have it decorated. I think my neighbors would agree that it looked very nice because I had lights up and it looked good. You know, guys, I'm a good neighbor. This house was an eyesore. It was dangerous. The bridge going across the walkway, really and truly, another 30 days, somebody had fallen through it.
I don't think these people are questioning that you're a bad neighbor. It's what you're wanting to do. You
know? Yeah.
As a person, I don't think they're questioning that you're a bad neighbor.
But
hang on just a second. Bob, can you bring up that video? Sorry to put you on hold there, Steve.
Oh, that's fine.
Just the...
Have you got anything on the between the house and his lot?
I don't know if I did shoot much of a... I don't remember. I don't know.
There's lots over there on the right side of the house.
Yeah, it would be along this side. I don't know how much I shot over on that side, to be honest.
You see where that propane tank is?
Yeah.
Is that the
That's the boundary line right there. Okay. And then it's got a walkway that goes down.
Yeah, I just...
Is that part of it back there?
Let me kind of...
If I'm seeing it right, there's all kinds of buffer in there.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of empty lot there. It's a full empty lot.
Go back up to the edge of the road there above, if you could, please. Back towards...
Am I...
Sorry, I forgot your name, sir. Yeah, go back around down the road towards the empty lot.
Yeah, kind of. Whoop.
At one point,
I didn't video. I didn't video that as much as I. But it's just right, basically right
can
up.
Can you freeze that right there?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I think I can.
I'm starting to get a headache.
Sorry. I haven't tried to pause it. There we go.
There you go.
Fill them all around. I want to see the edge of the road, Bob. Please. What I'm trying to look for, it looks to me like that slopes off of that road quite a bit. That's not level. No, yeah. No. That ain't
yeah,
level.
It's pretty
that ain't
steep.
Level by no means. No, I can't see anybody I want to try to pull off out there without sliding off down in there anyway. I think we ought to put in our deal there that Randy goes out between now and the meeting next Monday. And the
is he smiling?
Yeah, road.
I would like to make a comment on that. This area being a residential area, like many others within the county, the residents maintain right up to the road edge, keep it mowed, keep it well groomed and everything. They can do a much better job than our forces can trying to go around with a sickle mower and that type of thing. Because, and it helps keep it.
Yeah, that's what I was telling him. I wondered.
It is part of the county right away, but that's the way the road was designed and built and surfaced because it's not the main road. It is a secondary road off of the main road that serves these houses back here, and it is just pretty much it. You can pass two small cars, but two bigger vehicles, one's got to pull over while they're on.
That's what I was trying to.
If they try to park on the road and it becomes an issue for other bigger vehicles to get through emergency, then it becomes an issue. So that's the reason.
That's the reason I was trying to tell Mr. Harris that I wasn't disagreeing with him on the. I just let him know it's county right away, but. You know, I'm sure you appreciate him mowing up the road and making it look nice.
Oh, they did a great job.
But I still think we should have you go out there. Can you go look at that between now and the next meeting?
Look at it. As you can see here in the video on that one side, we've got a pretty much a ditch line on the one side. This other, it's pretty much natural drainage. There is a kind of a hedge or bushes along for a little ways and then it turns into grass.
That starts to drop off there pretty quick, though.
I guess one other thing, if I may, I was really kind of surprised in hearing from my neighbor that he was aware that there was other rentals that were on our street, and he is, and none of those have applied for a special use permit. I'm trying to follow the law. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to do it the way that it's supposed to be done. And I can't understand why I would be discriminated against by him when there's others that are on the street. He hadn't filed a complaint against them, probably because they're local, and I'm not. And so, I'm only
that
guessing.
May not,
that may or may not be.
He may not know about it, really.
Okay, no. Well, anyway, there's houses all over Branson, as we all know, that haven't applied for a special use permit that are operating that way. I'm trying to do it right.
Well, I have one question.
Yes, sir.
And he says that your neighbor there says, and that the way it's drawn, it looks like perhaps there isn't. Do you have a way to access to do your sewer work in the back?
Yes, we do. We can go down that left side of my property line because we've gone down back in there with a bobcat and other things to do work on the back.
Well,
where's your property line on this side?
Oh, it's quite a ways over. But there's plenty of room for a bobcat to go down, go back in there and
okay, and
do its work.
That was my question.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, we've had one back in there trimming trees and doing a lot of heavy work back there.
Okay, anybody else got any questions for Steve? Or Mr. Shepherd? I'm just trying to be sociable, so I'm going to call you Steve.
Okay, please do. Thank you for your attention.
Pretty good name, that's mine.
That's good.
Is that what the...
Well, most of the time, that's what it is.
All right. Thanks so much.
Okay, we'll see you next, the 18th, 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Regular meeting. All you folks are invited to come back. There won't be no speaking, but you can see what the results are, so you're welcome to come back. And you're welcome to stay. We're going to talk about another thing or two. I had something here wrote down I wanted to talk about for sure. Huh? We're going to have a 10-minute recess. He must be walking to the gas station.